sure I've used this passage several times, probably on Sunday nights and probably other times as well, but it's, in fact, I was going to just do one verse, but I'm going to go through the whole psalm here quickly. Psalm 42 and verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. But what a hunger and thirst that expresses, doesn't it? I don't have it, Amy. What a hunger that is there. Number 2, verse 2. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? There's a desperate situation here. He's thirsting, he's desiring and wanting God, and facing some adversity in the process as well. Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, just emptied before God. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. And then verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? There's this hunger, this cry here, and then he stops and say, wait a minute, what am I griping about? Why am I in this desperate situation? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Well, that thing just turns right around, doesn't it? O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep to the noise of thy waterspouts. All the waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindnesses in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. There's one provision for the day as he goes out about his daily duties and so forth, and then as the dark falls and the quiet settles, that song, my song in the night that's with me, and then my prayer unto God, the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? The situation is such that others looking in upon his life are saying, where's this God you told us about? Why did he let this happen to you? And it's gotten to him a little bit till he remembers. And then again, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. In verse 5, he said he was a help of his countenance. Now, he says, he is the health of my countenance. In the first case, it's what pulled him back. Now, it's what's sustaining him. My God, as he looks to him. You know, there's no want of things for us to be discouraged about and defeated about and in despair and maybe even depressed. But the thing is, for us as children of God, it's not hopeless. That doesn't mean it doesn't get tough as it did with the psalmist. The enemies around him, and they're crushing in upon him and taunting him and harassing him. But he has to take the focus away from that and fix it upon his God. And that's what we need. You know, there's times I try to keep up with current events and so forth, and there's times I've just got to push it aside. Because it does get depressing when you see what's going on and the way the country's going and stuff, and you know, the elections that don't always go our way the way we desired. And it's not, if we're not careful, that begins to crush down on us. And we just got to say, I've looked at this enough. Okay, God, let's just, you and I, talk about this for a while. And you know, Satan desires nothing more than to defeat us with discouragement, despair, depression, and feelings of hopelessness. But he says, hope thou in God, who is the help and the health of my countenance and my God. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, watch this, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which is preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Paul says, don't be moved away from that hope, that blessed hope, the promises of God that we have. And Paul, you know, he's writing this from prison. He says, don't be moved from that hope. That's what sustained him. As he wrote to Timothy, we looked at this morning, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. But even that discouragement did not move him from the hope that was set before him in Jesus Christ. I'm not supposed to be looking for perfect circumstances. They don't exist. And to be looking to him in everything. Romans 15. Romans chapter 15. Verse 13. Now the God of hope. I believe I heard one time that of all the Greek gods, there is no God of hope. They get gods for everything. But ours is a God of hope. And remember, hope, as the Bible uses it, is not as we use it. You know, I hope it doesn't snow next week. It's a certainty that just has not yet been realized. But there's no question about the fact that it will come to pass. That's how the Bible uses it. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. In my reading about shepherds this week, I came across a story of somebody who was over in Israel visiting, and they were in a busy street, and you know, all kinds of traffic, buses, cars, trucks, and everything, and people all around, and noise and chaos. And he says, here comes a shepherd down the street with about maybe 100 sheep following him, walking at a really brisk pace, You know, anxious, he's got to get them through this chaotic area. You know, they like where it's still. They don't like to be disturbed. And everything about where they are is to disturb them. But here they come, this shepherd followed closely, very closely by the sheep, walking at a brisk pace. And every one of them is doing what? Watching the shepherd. It's not the chaos that's going on around them. Their eyes are fixed upon him so they don't lose sight of him to get them through all of that and finally end up in the green pastures where he's leading us. And that's where we sheep need to be, with our eyes fixed on him. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, who is the health of my countenance and my God. A lot of things out there to distract us. That's where our strength comes. Amen? I have a letter from the Millers to Scotland. I pray this news and prayer letter finds you all well and blessed of the Lord. As I write this letter, I'm encouraged and blessed by your continued prayers and support for us. Thank you all very much. As we labor in the land of Scotland, I'm often reminded of these men and women of faith mentioned by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 11, followed by Hebrews 12:1. My prayer is that in the light of those who have gone before, I will run the race, as the Bible declares, until my Savior calls me home. I am encouraged to write that God is working in our ministry. Sinners are being reached with the message of salvation.